In the name of the one true and living God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. Over the past few Sundays, the lessons have focused on what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus. Today, we look at the depth of that discipleship in relationships, in a relationship between God and Abraham, between Paul and Jesus, and then Jesus teaches us how that relationship works through prayer. Life is about relationships, because all of creation consists of interdependent beings. It's not a question of whether we are related, but rather how we relate to one another. Healthy relationships are based on trust, mutual respect, and cooperation. Unhealthy relationships are based on attitudes of domination and submission rather than partnership, on being self-centered and focused on me instead of we. Today's readings remind us that people who claim to have a relationship with God often act as if they discovered that relationship, or if they somehow had earned or deserved that relationship. How often we forget that it is God who has found us and led us back to Him, rather than the other way around. That's certainly how it was with Abraham. Abraham would never have sought a relationship with a God who made such incredible demands and promises. But having been found by God and led by God, Abraham began to trust God. To trust, as we saw in last week, that God would provide his wife Sarah with a child. In today's gospel, we find Abraham feeling confident enough in his relationship with God, trusting enough in God to plead for mercy for the city of Sodom. Abraham's experience with God teaches us how relationships with God develop, how they are rooted in trust, and that when we trust God, new, wonderful, and exciting things happen. Our gospel also reminds us that our relationship with God is not something that we exploit simply for ourselves. That when we are in relationship with God, our concern always has to be for others. And so it is that Abraham intercedes with God not for himself, but for the people of Sodom. Abraham trusts in God, and that trust is shown to be well-founded. For God does not destroy Sodom. God heeds Abraham's intercession on behalf of others. In our reading from Colossians, Paul reminds us that the relationship we established with Christ through baptism is no mere ritual cleansing, but rather the initiation into a whole new way of life. Through baptism, we are no longer prisoners of outward conformity We are no longer prisoners of tradition or the law. We are no longer prisoners of what is expected of us, but rather we become free people. Free people able to live an authentic life, a new life in Christ, in which our inner and outer selves are reconciled and made whole. When we are in relationship with Christ, we become in relationship with ourselves. We cease to be divided, our bodily and our spiritual selves, and we become one whole new being. Now, Paul knew what it was to live a divided life. Paul knew what it was to express outward confidence to the world, which he did as he zealously persecuted the followers of Jesus, proclaiming his righteousness through his adherence to the law. But Paul tells us how conflicted he really was, how possessed he was by his own sin, his own doubts, his own inner demons. It is only after Paul encounters the risen Christ on the road to Damascus that Paul is reconciled with himself, that he ceases to be a divided being, that he becomes a new person, a whole person, an authentic person. And this occurs only through the relationship that the risen Jesus establishes with him. A Jesus who forgave Paul his sins, his trespasses. A risen Christ who erased his past record. Of course, there are countless Christians who have experienced God's forgiveness and the reconciliation in Christ's dying and resurrection. Convicted felons on death row, white-collar executives who have broken trust with their companies, addicts, and just ordinary folk like you and I, who can testify to the glorious new life that comes from this relationship. A new life that we are not to keep to ourselves, but a new life that we are to share as we live out the gospel in our relationships with others. One cannot be a Christian on one's own. One can only be a Christian in relationship with Christ and in relationship with others. Finally, Luke's gospel reminds us that the life of prayer is essential to our relationship with God and with one another. Jesus' words, which are so familiar to us, which many of us know by rote, and because we know them so well, we rarely take the time to pause and truly reflect upon what they say, what they mean, and what the implications of them truly are. So let's unpack those words. Take the initial addressing of God as Father. The original Aramaic is Abba, which really means daddy, signifying that our relationship is not with some remote deity, but rather our relationship with God is an intimate relationship of trust and belonging. Much as a child would have with a loving parent. Then come five petitions. May your name always be holy. May your kingdom be realized here and now. May we have enough for our daily needs. Forgive us our sins in the same way that we forgive those who sin against us. And save us from times of trial which tempt us to turn away from you. When you think about it, the Lord's Prayer is really a guide of how to maintain a healthy relationship with God and with each other. The Lord's Prayer reminds us that healthy relationships are rooted in trust and unconditional love and acceptance. The type of trust and unconditional love and acceptance that a child has for a parent. Healthy relationships are also rooted in justice. Asking for and taking only that which we need. Not seeking more than our share. Give us this day our daily bread. Not give us this day a Lamborghini or a big house or a prestigious job. Give us this day what we need for life. Live justly. Do not seek or take more than you need. Healthy relationships are based on forgiveness, a recognition that we fall short, that we have not always done that which we should have done. And knowing that we need to be forgiven, being ever ready to forgive others. Significantly, it's often the first part that is the most difficult for some. Some people have great difficulty forgiving themselves. It's easier for them to forgive others, but not to forgive themselves. Of course, this betrays that trust in God. That trust that God forgives us. And because God forgives us, so we must always be ready to forgive others. Healthy relationships are not based or do not give in to the temptations that put self first, to the temptations that disregard the needs and feelings of others. Save us from the time of trial. Save us from those things that tempt us, that puff up our ego, that inflate our sense of self, that tempt us to control, to dominate, to exploit others. Jesus then tells his disciples to be persistent in the relationship with God and with God's people. reminding us that healthy relationships require constant work. Relationships do not just happen. They need to be constantly worked upon. Jesus tells the disciples to ask, to search, to knock, reminding us that healthy relationships require open communication, not only the ability to ask the right questions, but to listen attentively to the answers. Healthy relationships require a commitment to search for the truth and justice. But searching is not enough. One has to act upon the truth and justice when we discover it. Hence Jesus' words about one would not give a child a scorpion when a child is seeking an egg. And establishing relationships requires risk, a willingness to become vulnerable by knocking on doors. In other words, to be ready to go out into the world and meet God's people wherever they may be found and whoever they may be. And to do so, always expecting to meet Christ in every encounter. Of course, when one knocks on a door, it might not be opened. It might be opened only to be slammed in your face. But yet, we are to knock. We are to risk. We are to become vulnerable in our reaching out to all people, seeking to establish relationship with them, seeking reconciliation, even with those who hate us, even with our enemies, even with those who scare us, who are different from us, who act and talk and think differently. We're to go and knock on their doors too. And we are to go expecting to encounter Christ. Ready to enter into relationship. And when we do this, the kingdom will come. The kingdom will be here now, in this time, in this place. For wherever there are healthy relationships, a healthy relationship based upon a trust in God, a healthy relationship based on love and compassion and forgiveness and justice, the kingdom has come. It is there. It is present. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're not praying for pie in the sky when we die. It is about here. It is about now. It is about becoming the new, authentic, reconciled beings that Paul speaks about in the letter to the Colossians. May we leave this place giving thanks for our relationship with God and with one another, and going forth ready to establish a new relationship with Christ in all those we meet. May it be so.